custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. Everyone in attendance is advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if they have any interest to declare in anticipation of any of the items. There being none, we can continue. So now we come to the outstanding budget matters. Now, I had a good chat with the Mr. Mifsud, the General Manager, this afternoon about these items. I had a couple of questions I was going to toss in. Essentially, then, these two motions deal with the four motions that we dealt with last time. And basically, if you remember, there were four parts to the budget, four different motions that are required. The fourth one, which we never got to, was the rate rebates. So that's the first one, a discrete item that we're dealing with first. And then there's a catch-all sort of motion. The third item was the subject of amendment by Councillor Crossland at the last meeting. So that's been dealt with. What the second report in this series deals with is the first two motions which went through and now need amendment if we hold to the 2.5%. So I hope that helps clarify what we're doing. So we deal with rate rebates first. Just ask if anyone has any questions about that before we proceed. Do we have someone to answer any finance questions, if there are any? What might be you, Mr. Lyons? Well, any questions, Mr. Councillor Gard?
Yes, just in relation to the norm for private schools, I noticed that that Westminster has a sizeable rebate, and I'm just not sure whether that would be the history of that might be of particular circumstances, or whether it is in line with
Councillor Gard. I can probably cut in on that.
Yep.
Educational institutions generally have a mandatory rebate. Staff can advise me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't distinguish, the law doesn't distinguish between public and private. So that's an easy one.
And we treat them all by the same formula, I assume.
And we do. It is a mandatory rebate,
right.
Whichever private or public institution it is.
And just for the record, I'm certainly not taking a set against private schools, but I just wanted to know.
Yeah, that's the history. Well, the other question I had was a bit more far-reaching, because councillors will notice that we've got, well, we have a number of properties which have a mandatory 100% rebate. We have properties which have a mandatory 75% rebate. And then we have a series of properties which have a range of discretionary rebates. So some of the 75% mandatory rebate properties, by our discretion, get an extra 25% rebate and pay nothing. Some properties get 100% rebate, discretionary. Some get 50% rebate, discretionary. And the question I raise is, well, I asked Mr. Mifsud today, look, has this occurred historically on an ad hoc basis? And essentially, in one word, the answer was yes. So what I noticed is that there are some inconsistencies there. So, for example, there's a housing non-profit association, and they necessarily would get the 75% rebate because of what they do, but we give them an extra 25% rebate. And yet there are a number of housing associations which don't get that extra 25%. So just historically, somebody's lobbied well enough to get an additional rebate. Now, because we're so close to the end of the year, we want to get the budget through, what I've suggested to Mr. Mifsud is to bring back a report on the basis for the different discretions, so that we can have a look at that. We might want to leave it exactly as it is, or we might want greater consistency between different organisations. Of course, like all of these things, so once you give a rebate, hard to claw it back, but we might want to for the sake of consistency. We might want to give out more rebates, I don't know. But I'd suggest rather than dealing with the issue now that we could take it on as a report in the new financial year. Mr. Mifsud, did you want to add to that or clarify anything I've said?
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. Through yourself, absolutely concur with your summary. So we'd be more than happy to subsequently bring a report through to Council, whether that be as part of next year's process or sooner if Council so desires, to provide that background and therefore put you in a position where we can potentially even maybe develop like a guideline or some sort of basic policy that Council will feel more comfortable with.
So having said that, either questions, if somebody would like to move as printed or as however you want, Councillor Bilescu?
Yeah, I'll move as is with a 2.5%.
Moving the recommendation. Sorry, we're talking about the rate rebate.
So I thought we were doing it at once here. I'm happy to do the rate rebate.
Let's do it one at a time. The rate was seconded. Councillor Gard, any discussion? Yes, sorry.
I guess if we are doing a report on the rebates, I'd like us to keep an eye on the transition from SA Housing to the different housing providers, and just to make sure that there's no net difference for Council as far as rates go.
Board. If there's no other discussion, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. All those against? Sorry, Councillor Kerry. Yes, that's carried by majority. Thank you. The annual business plan and long-term financial plan as amended to reflect the 2.5% is what we have on the table at the moment, following a decision at the last council meeting. Now, I was, before we got into the debate, I was going to ask for a clarification of the compound interest effect. It's a shame we haven't got a whiteboard, but I believe Mr. Mifsud has a short presentation which might help explain the long-term financial plan impact of a reduction of the rate rise from 2.75% to 2.5%. So we're just getting that ready to put up for members. Right, so I'll just ask Mr. Mifsud to explain a bit more to us.
Thank you, through the Chair. So what we've tried to show here, and this is just effectively a summation of information that was provided to members both yesterday and also I think Friday of last week. In short, even if Council chooses to reduce the average rate increase in year one, in other words, for the new financial year 2016-17 by 0.25%, and then if you chose to put it back to 2.75%, which is what this example is, the principle is the same under any of the models that are available for Council's consideration. Yes, there is a $173,000 reduction in rate revenue in the first year. What you'll also find, though, is because every subsequent year is calculated off the preceding year, it's not a matter of simple compound interest where you start with $173,000 in like a deposit account with a bank and then you just compound it each year thereafter. The fact is your base that you work off of is lower than it would have otherwise been, which means in year two, for example, here, in addition to that $173,000 reduction, there's a further $179,000. And the reason being is if you look at that section there that Yvette's highlighting for us, basically to calculate the adjusted rate revenue for year two, being 2017-18, we start with the $70.8 million. We multiply it by the average rate increase. With this example, I assume we go back up to 2.75, and then you add on your growth, so you multiply that by 1.01. So that next year's revenue figure is actually an additional $179,000 lower. And basically each year, once we've effectively foregone $173,000 in the previous year, that is then gone forever. and then in the next year we lose an additional 179,000, et cetera, et cetera, all the way through, so that if council adopted an average rate increase, as you did at the preceding council meeting for the budget, of 2.5%, and then you wanted to go back to 2.75, just that 2.5%, that 0.25% increment in year one only still has a compounding effect of just over $2 million over the 10 years of the long-term plan. Certainly, I'm happy to do my best to try and cover any queries you may have.
Well, Mr. Mitchell, I can get to that $2 million figure, no problem, I follow that. But last meeting we were talking about an $11 million figure, and I can't get to that. So can you explain that, please?
Yep, very good question. So that $2 million is if there's a differential or a reduction in the average rate increase in year one, being 2016-17 of 0.25%. If council chose to have an average rate increase each year thereafter, in other words, for the remaining 9 years, also at 2.5%, the same principle that we've just gone through would apply to every subsequent year where you've got that true compounding effect, and it's not a simple compounding effect like you would have in a standard bank deposit account. So if you look at 2017-18 here, you can see in that year the differential, in addition to what's already happened as a result of 2016-17, there'd be $179,000 revenue less than we otherwise would have occurred. And that flows all the way through. And the same applies to each year thereafter, because you'd actually got a 0.25% differential, or a smaller rate increase each year for every year of the 10 years.
So, and I don't want to do this to death, maybe I'll just have one more crack at it. But if we assume that the long-term financial plan was just 2 years, to keep this simple, so we've got the $173,000 figure in year one. Everyone understands that, that you drop it from 2.75 to 2.5, you get $173,000 less collected. In the next year, because it's still a higher base, so in year two, you're going to collect $179,000 less than what you would have under the 2.75. Now, I then get a cumulative total of the 173 plus 179, and what I struggle to get is why the cumulative total after 2 years of the lower rate rise is actually three lots, 173 plus 179 plus 179. So can you explain that one, Mr. Mitchell?
So when we look at the blue row, I think what you're saying is that we're comfortable and understand where the 173,000 plus 179 arises from. That's based on the average rate increase decreasing in the first year from 2.75 down to 2.5. And the blue line would be all that applies if council then decided that the remaining 9 years in the long-term plan would be based off the 2.75 per the original assumptions and framework that was adopted at the beginning of this calendar year. However, if in every year thereafter we're actually basing it off 2.5%, when we get to the year 2017-18, we've lost another 0.25% in revenue than we otherwise would have received.
But isn't that losing two lots, not three lots?
Yep, absolutely. You are losing two lots. You're losing two lots on the impact from year one, and then as of the beginning of 2017-18, each year thereafter, you lose an additional 0.25%, which is compounded effectively all the way through for the last 9 years of the long-term plan.
Right, so my premise was just looking at the first 2 years, this year and the year after. We've got 173,000 less in year one, everyone understands. We've got 179,000 less in year two, everyone understands that. So you've got down on the yearly difference, you've called at the bottom of year two, $358,000. But you would say the overall impact just in those 2 years would not be 358, but 358 plus the 173. Now, I'm still struggling to see how that isn't double counting.
Yep, you're absolutely correct. It would be, so each year, if you look down the columns, that's the amount of revenue that we will not receive each year. So in 16-17 as a result of 0.25% less in that year, we won't receive $173,000 in rate revenue. In the next year, not only is there the impact as a result of that, but we've also got 0.25% in that year that we otherwise didn't have. So if that was still staying at 2.75%, the impact would be purely 173 plus 179, which is the blue line. But because in that year, this model here, or this assumption, is that in year two, the average rate increase would also reduce from 2.75 to 2.5, there is then another impact, so it's not double counting.
Councillor Velescu.
A couple of questions. So in that case, if we were to go 2.5 this year, 2.5 next year, the total in the long-term budget over 10 years would be the blue row right at the right and the one underneath. So you're looking at just under $4 million taken out of the long-term budget.
And that's not what Mr. Mifsud is saying. So, Mr. Mifsud?
No. With respect, it is. We're just talking about for those years. Because we're looking at the cumulative thing. So basically the first one, we take out 0.25%. It's money we won't get, and it'll be $2 million we won't get. And then if we do it next year, there'll be another $1.8 million we won't get. So the total will be $4 million in the long-term budget.
Yeah, just
got one more
through the chair. No, that's a good point. So you're quite right. If council resolved to have 2.5% in this first year, and then 2.5% in the second year, and then you reverted back up to 2.75% for the remainder of the long-term plan, which is what the draft was based on when we came to council on the 28th of June. Councillor Velescu, you're absolutely right. The reduction in rate revenue for the full 10 years of the long-term plan would be those two figures added together, which is just under $4 million.
I've just got one more question. Because this council's moved from an assumption of 5% on average to an assumption of 2.75%, based on those figures, would it be roughly 90% of the... Well, would it roughly be about $106 million that we're saving residents over the next 10 years. If it were roughly 90%, well, nine times that figure down the bottom there in the green. So do you understand? So basically we were for 10 years getting 5%. Understandably it's a lower base. But we're actually almost doing 10 times, well, five times, nine times the 0.25%, which we're talking about today. So essentially we've basically not taking $106 million over 10 years, roughly.
Mr. Mercer.
Yeah, through the chair, another really good question. So you recall in our discussions both last year and this year, gross operational savings are in the order of about $4 million. So what that's enabled council to do is both lower the average rate increase, which is exactly what we're looking at now, and in addition still have some funds aside to put towards funding council and the community's major aspirations. So if you just look at the gross operational savings, you could say, based on today's figures, it's certainly in the order of about $40 million off the operating budget that we previously would have had in the long-term financial plan. But I don't think it's as simple as just doing the differential calculation you were referring to, but it's certainly a substantial saving that council has achieved over the past two financial years that underpin that.
Councillor Velescu, just before you rest, you're happy with the $11.8 million figure for the long-term impact? Yeah. Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Pryor.
They're basically looking at that graph there, even by just reducing our rate to 2.5% for the next 10 years, we're actually giving nearly $12 million back to the local economy to spend within the Marion Council area.
Mr. Mifsud?
Yes, you're correct.
Councillor Pryor's covered. All right, someone to move accordingly? Councillor Gard to move as recommended? Yes, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, any debate? Well, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Just got that one through. We now turn to the topic of BMX. There's a deed that has been drafted in conjunction with our staff and the state government. Who will answer any questions that we have on the deed? Ms. Dixon is available. So I know I've got one. Perhaps I'll start before we get into the debate. My question is about the changes that were required in the course of negotiations. If you could just explain where it began and what we wanted in it that wasn't in it, please.
Through the chair. So the key changes that we brought into the deed after receiving, the page number. If you go to the schedule as part of the deed, and I can get you up the report page number. Page 29. So section 5, special conditions. The key thing in there was in terms of 5.14, originally the deed requested that council finance any necessary funds over the 3.5. That was changed to obtaining any necessary funds, and that's a key word, the obtaining. So if the project was to be above 3.5, it's not council's responsibility to finance that additional funds. What we would play is an advocating role to try and, you know, source increased partner in funding as well. So that's a key one in there. In terms of that special conditions clause as well, you'll note that the actual project going ahead is subject to the following conditions being satisfied. So council would have a representative on the project steering group. If you look under 5.12, there's needs to be approval by that project steering group around project methodology, scope, design, cost, design and construction contingency, the tender process and the evaluation. So that also gives council some control over being, you'd have to be as a member satisfied with that agreement as part of the project steering committee as well. Another key element is the 5.15 in terms of the ongoing costs for this project. So again, the project steering committee that would have representatives from council on it need to develop and agree a management model with roles and responsibilities of the various parties identified and agreed, and the funding for the whole of life costs acceptable to the City of Marion.
Thank you. So if I could just summarise one of the key points. We don't use any of the state government money until all of those things have been done. So if a costing comes back that it'll cost $4, $5, or $6 million, we can't spend any of the state government money until we know that we've secured the amount to finish the job. Questions or someone to move, as you wish. Councillor Gard.
Hey, Worship, just on 514, it just occurs to me that the expression of it's a little contradictory, and it might just be the way I'm looking at it, but it seems a little contradictory if we are not making ourselves responsible and no one else is making us responsible for raising more than the 3.5 million. If we're merely at the advocate level, it seems to be contradictory that it should be expressed that council obtaining any necessary funds over the 3.5. Could we, or should we, qualify that somewhat by way of advocacy or some such words?
Through the chair, this clause was discussed in detail between council staff and state government. I think the obtaining is, it doesn't, so we would take lead in advocating for additional funds, but it doesn't require council to underwrite those additional funds or finance the additional funds. So it does protect council that if we found it was, you know, 5 million or 4.5, it wouldn't then come back to council to fund that. I think, you know, there would be a situation where all parties have contributed money, so you would be advocating to consider that. There is a will for this project to go ahead, hence the different partners putting in the funding, but council is covered in that risk so that it wouldn't come back to you to finance it.
To say council obtaining through advocacy any necessary funds, etc. Is there a disadvantage to saying that? I'm just looking at the consistency and the meaning and the intent.
I think, just if I can help Ms. Dixon, I think what we're getting at there is that the plain meaning of the words set out doesn't match the explanation that's being given. Okay. Obtaining means we get the money. We may get it by asking other people for it, federal, state, local or international, but we have to get it before any of the state government's $2 million is spent, is the way I read it. So that's why Councillor Gard's trying to get a clearer sort of language. And, of course, if there is any thought that change might be entertained, then it can't really be done on the spot. That wouldn't be prudent, but it might have to come back. But Ms. Dixon, what do you say?
Through the Chair, we can pass that in a resolution and seek to have that included. And, I mean, obviously it's an agreement between two parties, but we can certainly try to have that included in the final deed, and that's in line with the resolution in terms of authorising the CEO to do some final amendments to the deed. So we could bring that in as a resolution if that is what council would like.
Well, through the Chair and to the Chair, I guess I'm not legally trained. I've had many legal dealings, but if it is considered that we're killing an ant with a mallet in making such a change and that wording could survive any legal test, well, I'm not here to rock the boat, but I'm just second-guessing it in case no one else has.
If we were going to proceed as it is, then I would be suggesting that we have recorded the explanation in the minutes, because if we're going to rely on that, it's a pretty significant commitment. If it says that council needs to obtain the money, we're being told that it doesn't really mean we need to obtain it. I'd want that spelled out in the minutes. But if staff are comfortable with that, that's fine. If they're not comfortable, then maybe it should go off to the next meeting. Others? Councillor Pryor.
Just a quick question around the timing. Clause 5.2 on page 30 says about starting on the 30th of June. Or before the 30th of June, and finishing no later than the 31st of December. Wouldn't mind a comment about the time frame as to whether we think that's something we can do.
So 6 months from commencement of build to finish. Yeah. Comment from staff? Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, it is, fairly tight time frame, but we believe we can make it in terms of delivering that. Yeah.
Okay, well, in your hands, councillors, as to how you wish to proceed. Councillor Westwood.
I move the motion.
Very well. Did you wish to speak to it?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm supporting my fellow councillor who's absent tonight.
Is that seconded,
Seconded Councillor Gard. And please go ahead.
I'm very sorry that she's absent tonight, but I just wanted to credit Councillor Byram with her great deal of lead work. It's not just been the amount, but the quality of the work that she's put in for this and others, no doubt. But it's been it's grown from a very small baby to a very big baby very quickly, and so I commend her for that.
Before we proceed to a vote, does the meeting wish to have a succinct explanation of that clause 5.14 included in the minutes? I'm getting nods. So, Ms. Dixon, could you come up with a formulation to have that included in the minutes? I must admit I'd be inclined to do that before we put it to the vote, because that's what we're relying on. So, Ms. Dixon? Yep.
We can seek to have that through advocacy brought into that clause. So in the resolutions with the report, it authorises the CEO to negotiate minor amendments to the deed where necessary to enable the progress of the project. We could add a resolution in here that requests that we seek to have that included in that clause, and I think that would...
Well, first I'll just ask the mover and seconder if they're inclined to incorporate such a measure.
I think it would be most appropriate to have an explanation of the discussions that have taken place so that the motion can be interpreted with the knowledge of the attitude of the council at the time.
So, rather than an amendment... Let's go back to the idea of the explanation. That's what Councillor Westwood
was saying. I think that would be appropriate.
So, Ms. Dixon, if you could write that down as quickly as possible for incorporation into the minutes. Is leave granted for that explanation to... yes, leave is granted, so we'll incorporate an explanation. Shall we deal with the next item, come back to that? Just depends. Yeah, it'll take a little while. So perhaps a procedural motion that this matter lay on the table until the conclusion of the following item? Is that it? Adjourned. Okay. Would someone like to move that this item be adjourned until the conclusion of the following item? Councillor Crossland, seconded. Councillor Vlescu, seconded. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. So now we go on to the federal election promises, which is for information, but also to really get on the public record the very good news that we have in terms of being the recipient of federal election promises. I stress that it's not about the parties, but it just so happens that the successful party in the election has made some very substantial promises. We'll be corresponding with them to ensure delivery and express our gratitude. Someone like to move an appropriate motion? Councillor Gard, moving as recommended. Yes, seconded Councillor Crossland. Any discussion? Councillor Appleby?
I'm going to speak against the motion, Your Worship. I think some of the MPs would be confused about receiving a letter, in particular Miss Rishworth, given she's not in government. I don't see how she could deliver her promise. And in Hindmarsh, I note presently Steve Georganis is in the lead. The report said there weren't any promises made for Hindmarsh by Labor, so there are none to be delivered, as far as we're aware. And also, he's not going to be in government either, so I don't see the point of writing to them and asking them for a time frame.
That's probably a good point. There's nothing wrong with the second clause. That's sort of not affected by your argument. And if it was simply to write to the members of Beathby, Hindmarsh and Kingston to congratulate them on their election, that would be fine, because it's not referring to who might that be. But the business of confirmation of the election commitments and the timing of their delivery is probably something that we need to take up with the federal government rather than individual members, I suspect. So, a question before we go on, Councillor Cross.
So the question is to interpret that if, for example, Amanda Rishworth promised $845,000 if the Labour government got elected, then technically she hasn't made a commitment if they didn't get elected. So you wouldn't be sending her a letter saying congratulations, where's the $845,000, because the commitment was based upon the Labour Party getting in, so it would just be a letter congratulating her on re-election. I'm not sure about the netball one.
I've got a possible solution. If you added after election commitments, which must be fulfilled, then it would refer to the commitments of members who belong to the federal government party. Councillor Appleby,
I'm just wondering if we even need a motion, Your Worship. There's nothing to stop administration in the coming weeks, when everything's settled down, contacting the government and asking some questions.
No, I suppose not. It's just a nice thing to do. Councillor Blescu?
Whether we write to the current member for Hindmarsh, or perhaps Senator Birmingham, who wrote to us in regards to the Liberal Party's commitment in Edwardstown, or the Liberal Party duty senator for that seat, if Mr. Williams isn't successful, we can follow that up internally. I think thanking everyone involved, the federal members who are elected and the ones that lost their seats, if any do, is fine, but and doing that at a council meeting, but anything further, I think, is probably, I agree with my co-councillor, can be done through the everyday business of staff.
What if there was a full stop after election? So it's just congratulate some people, thank the other people, and then leave the chasing up of commitments to be done appropriately.
That's fine.
There'd be more agreement. So if there's leave of the meeting, the mover and seconder may wish to just put a full stop after election and delete the rest, and then it seems there might be consensus. So leave is granted. Just to check that our scribe is up to date with our intention. Right, any other speakers? I'll put the motion, all those in favour. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So they're going to fix that up. Everyone happy? I would humbly suggest that we say, note that under clause 4, I would, at the beginning, I'd say, note that staff have advised that. Just a question from, we haven't got there yet, but Councillor Appleby?
More of a comment, but I think it would be better to authorise the CEO to make an amendment to 5.1.4.
I think that's part of the deal anyway. Minor amendments can be sought by the Chief Executive, is that right?
Through the Chair, that is one of the resolutions, but Council could request this as a resolution as well, that the CEO bring make this change to the deed.
My point is that Council are resolving, we want to make progress, we're resolving to go with the recommendation as printed. I'm extremely unsure about the advice, but if that's what we're relying on, let's at least have that noted in the minutes, and it covers Council. It means that we're acting in good faith to make progress with the deed, but we're doing so in reliance on that understanding of it. Councillor Crossland.
So maybe a question just to staff, I suppose, and the acting CEO is, I mean, from our perspective, does this give enough of a cautionary note on the word obtaining, because we've interpreted that as it's our responsibility, so we're just hoping that that is reviewed and maybe double checked that staff are comfortable that their interpretation is correct.
Mr. Lyons or
So through the Chair, the current resolution number 3 allows the CEO to make minor amendments, and that note at the end ensures that we're aware of the interpretation of obtaining any necessary funds. I will find some advice, obtain some advice on whether a change should be made, and then if it's needed, we will make that change.
Thank you, I'm happy with that.
Thank you. There's been... Did you have a question, Councillor Westwood?
Yes, clarification.
Yes, please.
Or a point of view, still clarification, I guess. But I think that the motion should show that we do interpret the deed as not having to obtain more funds. So not just that we have advice, but we have determined that that's our interpretation.
Oh, how very contentious of you. But you were the mover, and you're seeking leave to... to amend, what's the word, to vary your motion.
I think that would be reasonable. Thank you.
Does the seconder agree with a variation along those lines?
What is the best process towards it? I'm happy to take advice
yes,
on that.
Somewhat surprising, Councillor Garr, that you're happy to do that, given that you were the one who raised the question about the meaning of obtaining previously.
You're welcome to
express a contrary view, that's fine.
No, it's not a contrary view, but, Your Worship, but it's to say that I think we definitely have to address it, but actually the process for doing that, I'm in other hands because I'm not aware of the detail of the dealings leading up with other parties. So if that's going to create complications and it can be done a better way and an effective way, well, I'm prepared to bow on that as long as the context that we're trying to exact is not lost.
What I'm concerned about as Mayor is that you're embarking on something in the absence of adequate advice, so I express that caution, and I hope the audio is working tonight. Now, is leave of the meeting granted to vary the motion? Sorry, Councillor Westwood what indeed was the variation that you wished to pursue? I'm getting some negative from councillors, so we'll put that to a vote. Councillor Appleby, would that be right? So we put it to a vote as to whether leave is granted or not.
Always.
Well, if there's agreement, I don't mind going ahead, but there's not unanimity at the moment. So the question is leave given to vary the motion as indicated by Councillor Westwood? Raise your hand if you say yes to that. Raise your hand if you do not give leave for the motion to be varied. The leave is not granted, so we have the motion and the explanation. Sorry, the leave was... We'll have the vote again. When there's a vote of one and people don't really put their hands up, it's a bit hard to tell sometimes. Those who wish leave to be granted to vary the motion, please put your hand up. I count five votes. All those who are against leave being granted, one, two, three, four votes. So that is correct that leave is granted, and that the motion is varied accordingly. So what was in the explanation was by Councillor Westwood varied to become a resolution. So it'll be number six, I guess, and it'll be just... Staff, following Councillor Westwood, staff have advised that and Council have agreed that. Councillor Westwood. Yes, okay. Scrap the first that. Yep, and that'll become number six. I'm just seeking advice from Ms. McKenzie. Okay, so Councillor Westwood, just to take your concept a step further, if we had at the very end of that clause six, council seeks amendment of the draft deed accordingly.
Okay. I'm happy with that, thank you.
I know it's a bit ungrammatical, but at least the intention is clear. Okay. Well, I couldn't have expressed my objection any more strongly. After all, I'm not part of the debate. That is the motion. We've had enough discussion. All those in favour, raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. All those against? That is carried. Special general meeting, so there is no other business to be conducted, so I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.